Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
So here we are on Christmas Day. Falls on a Sunday, first day of the week. And we set aside time to start our week to worship Him, even on this, what we call a holiday. And I could read from the Christmas story. And many of you, most of you know bits and pieces. Many of you know it thoroughly. Some of you Bible quiz people probably know it by heart, word by word, verse by verse. But I want to look at the prophecy and the prophet a little bit of Isaiah in the Old Testament, because he's known as the evangelistic prophet or the messianic prophet, because he begins to prophesy, okay, about the coming king, the coming redeemer, the coming leader for not only God's people, meaning Israel or the Israelites or the Jewish, but we will find out that this prophecy is about all people for all time. And so when we hear this prophecy or look at it, we think it is this precursor of prophecy for when Jesus shows up, which is true. But the prophecy goes beyond that, and it's relevant to us today, even though we live in a time where it's after Christ came. You know, He came, born of a virgin, and this marvelous miracle, and He grows and gives His life to redeem many. The purpose of Christmas, the purpose of His coming, the purpose that He was sent. And so I want us to take a little glimpse at this morning, from the Old Testament, and we will refer to some things in the New Testament. But I want to give you the backdrop here that is the foundation of what is written in the New Testament in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. It says that we should be, those who believe in Christ, should be ready at any time when we are asked about the hope that is within us. Say this, I have hope within me. Hope is really what kind of helps us in tough times, isn't it? And the other part is this. Here's a little question for you and I. If you call yourself a follower, a believer in Christ, is this. If our hope is in Christ, then why do we get so shaken in current circumstances in our life? I mean, if our hope is in Christ, then it's not just a saying, but we really have a hope in Christ, then why do we allow circumstances and difficult times or the darkness of this world and the faltering things, which we should be concerned about? I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned. Of course we should. But why do we get so wrapped up and it causes us to question and falter or get so fixated on that it's a distraction to the hope that is supposed to live within us? I mean, if we know who He is and our hope is in Him and that hope lives within us, then it should be able to conquer and calm me in what we face. Now, I'm not saying we should never get aggravated or angry as long as we don't sin, correct? But it's based off of this hope, not a hopelessness, not a, this is all doom and gloom and what good can come of this and it's just disaster and it's just trauma and we just get so wrapped up and we can get, you know, so fixated in our thinking and the brokenness, not even just around us, but maybe the brokenness in our own life. I want you to know that Paul writes there's three things that remain. What are they? Faith, hope, love. We talk a lot about love, and a lot about faith. But there's three things that remain. Hope. That which is the substance, right? Right? Faith is the substance of things that we hope for because there's a God who loves you. Don't measure your trial and how difficult it is as if that's the marker of whether God loves you or not. He loves you regardless of what we face and what we go through. And he loved us so much and displayed it that he took on human likeness to come to redeem us. One who was blameless in this life. That's what gives us hope. And so here is Isaiah, pre-coming of Christ in the flesh, the Christ child. Hundreds of years before this. And he prophesies. There's three things about the book of Isaiah that I want us to maybe consider this morning. Because they were in a setting all around them at this time in that part of the world, nations were rising and falling constantly. It was one was conquering another. And it was we know that that happens in the world, and we even see it today. But it was a time where it was just happening so constantly, so readily. It was like the wheel was constantly spinning of who conquered who and what nation rose up and what one fell that was astounding that it fell because it was so strong and those that it just it that was the setting. And people lose heart in times like that. They lose heart. You watch leadership come and go quickly in any area of our life. Not just countries, but if you watch the revolving door of maybe management in a company or even within leadership of the home, where it falters and there's different players coming and going. It creates a hopelessness for people, a frustration, a throwing up of the hands of where is there a stability? Where is there something moral? Where is there something right that I can hold on to? Where is there something even morally right that challenges me, that causes me to think different and become a better person? It just seems like it's gone. And so Isaiah, he receives this word from the Lord during this kind of time. Troubled times. Broken people, broken nations, broken people groups, people fighting against people, divided houses, divided nations. And Isaiah gets the message that brings a message that is a hope for a righteous king. He gets this prophecy that there is a righteous king who is coming. It brought hope to people in a hopeless time. And God knew it. God saw the stage that was set on in humanity at the time, just like God sees the stage that has been set in your life. Our history, the props that are in place, the actors that come and go. Only thing is, ours is real life. This is not a two-hour theatrical thing that you pay $80 for to go watch. This is real life. Your life, my life, their life. And God saw it, and he reveals to Isaiah to bring this prophecy to people where nations come and go. And he says, I am going to bring to you a righteous king. You'll see it in Isaiah chapter 1. It starts with the first verse. You see, Isaiah, the interesting thing is, Isaiah lived long enough. His life went through the reign of four different kings for the Israelites. He watched. He had the opportunity to see four kings reign in his lifetime. One was Uzziah. He fell because of pride. and because of presumption. Jotham, he couldn't restrain corruption and he couldn't lead God's people to transition from corruption into faith and holier living. He watched the third king, Ahaz. Let me sum it up this way if you read about Ahaz. He was just plain evil. Just plain evil. Everything about him, everything he did, everything that he led God's people into and that he allowed to happen. And then a fourth king, Hezekiah. Of the four, Hezekiah, he was the only one, according to scripture and history, is that he proved to be steadfast. And so this was the setting that God's people were going through, just within their own country, their own nation, their own people. They are without hope. And he prophesies about a coming king. He brings good news. Of course, you know how it is with prophecy if you've been around prophecy. Well, if you prophesy on Tuesday, by Wednesday it should happen. Right? Oh, that's just not how it always unfolds. There's this thing called waiting. This is a good time for you to bump the person next to you, especially if you're a husband, and say, see, patience. Patience. Prophecy came. It brought hope to God's people while circumstances were horrible. And they had to wait hundreds of years before they see the fulfillment of this prophecy. That means many who heard it weren't alive when it manifested. And when it manifested at the coming of Christ, not all of them knew about the prophecy. Because they grew distant from God, many of them. They weren't acquainted with the book of Isaiah as they should be. I mean, it used to be readily taught in their culture and in their homes, but they grew distant. Things faltered, and God sent them a prophecy of a coming king that would be righteous and do right. Another point of the messianic prophecy of the coming of Christ from the Old Testament was that there was hope for an atoning Savior. That this king, this leader, would come and he would redeem, he would restore, he would bring forgiveness between God and the people. You see, from the Israelite view or the Hebrew view, when the prophecy came to hear that they would have a righteous king who's coming, understand, when they looked at the world and their worldview at the time, it was all about human leadership. Because it was toppling and coming and going and characters were changing and all the nations and things around, it was like a whirlwind. And so they quickly would assume. Have you ever assumed? Hear something from God and assume something? And through time you discover, oh wait, what I was thinking and assuming was not what God meant. Just a little note, it's always best to know what God is actually saying. I've had to learn that. Even a little quiet amen over here, that was all right. We'll take that on Christmas. Yeah. So the promise was of a righteous king, but it was also that this righteous king would be a savior. One who would bring healing, one who would bring forgiveness of sin and guilt, one who would be, you know, the antidote for broken humanity. You acquainted with broken humanity? Maybe in our own life. The third piece of hope that Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Christ was also the hope of a universal deliverer. Now, this was strange. Okay, this was strange to the ears of a Jewish person at the time, because their hope and prayer is about bringing a leader to them, a deliverer to them. But when Isaiah prophesies, he sees something more grand that God shows him. That this king, this deliverer, the savior, was not only for the Israelites, but for all mankind for all time. This is where the good news comes for you and for me. And Paul writes it this way in Romans chapter 1, because he's not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God to salvation, to save people. And for everyone who believes, it doesn't matter if you're Jewish or Gentile. He says, first, it's for the Jew and the Gentile. It wasn't just about Israel. It wasn't just about the lost sheep of Israel. This righteous king would come, this what you and I know as this baby in a manger, this deliverer, this Messiah will save his people from their sins. But the prophecy in Isaiah says it's not just for the Jewish people. It's to them first and then to the Gentiles, the rest of us, the rest of the world, to Jew and to Greek. Here's the good news for you and I. It's why we can take heart in this Hebrew child that was born unto us. We get to say us because we're included. See, that's the beauty of this prophecy of Isaiah before the coming of the Christ. And he tells about this Messiah, this deliverer, this righteous king, this healer that is universal. You see, he's a redeemer. This is different. This is a redeemer who provides a ransom. He's going to pay. That's how he's going to come and conquer for all humanity, for you and I. As he comes and he pays for our sin, our brokenness, that which we've done and that which has been done to us. That it would no longer have a hold on us. That there's a power of healing and forgiveness that comes. That can release us from eternal judgment and being apart from God. But in this life, the hardships and all this that goes on is to remind us that there is this Savior. And for us, it's not the Savior who will once be born and come. He's already come and he's done the work. He's provided the ransom. He's already paid the bill for you. That's the Christ child. That's what Christmas is about. I mean, I love the scripture, and it tells you about this baby in a manger. You have this compassion on Mary because she's traveling around, you know, walking around, riding on a donkey. They got no place to stay. I mean, it is better than anything Hollywood could ever write when you look at the reality of the story. The historical account of Christ. But the beauty is about why he came. And you know the reason he came? Because of you. Because of me. Turn to the person next to you and say, he came because of you. Listen, say, he came because of you. Listen, listen to those words. He came because of you. I want you to, you know, go home today on this Christmas day and you go into the bathroom. You leave the family for a moment. Go into the bathroom, close the door, turn on the light, put your hands on the vanity or the sink or whatever's there and look in the mirror, look into your eyes and say, he came for you. I'm telling you, you do it today. Do it tomorrow. When you start to feel like you're getting entangled in life, I want you to go to a mirror somewhere and look yourself in the eyes, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what's going on, and you look in your eyes and you remind yourself of the truth that he came for you. And he's a righteous king. And he's a savior. And he's a redeemer. He's a deliverer. He made a way for you and I. You see, he's better than us. We judge a lot of people according to their sins and what we see and what we like and what we don't like. But he's better than us. And we withhold our love or give our favor depending on how we feel about people. He's better than us. And that's what gives us hope. That's the prophecy. Here comes this one who is righteous. He is better than you. That he will come and love you and lay down his life for you, even though you don't deserve it. It's who he is. And that's the one who came for you. This prophecy was not just for his generation. The prophecy that Isaiah, it was not just for the people at the time and for those who would come shortly after. It's for us today, because in that prophecy of Isaiah and the coming of the Christ, it includes this. It was a call to God's people of what this Messiah will bring, and what you, as the people who he is coming for, it was a call to cease from social injustice. Let me ask you, is the prophecy still relevant today? Watch that thing that you call and I call the news. The prophecy is true through time to the day in which we live. There was a call to cease carnal indulgence, the excess. There was a call in the prophecy to stop trusting in the arm of the flesh. Say this, I have my limitations. And you might feel really physically strong and kind of feel invincible. But let me ask you this. How are you suited in your hand in the suit of patience or wisdom or compassion? It's not just about physical strength. It's the arm of the flesh, the way of the flesh. Can we conquer those weaknesses on our own? We need his help. He said, stop trusting in your own scheming alone. There was a call to hypocritical pretense of orthodox religion. You know, things that he wrote, like, hey, Israelites, is this the fast I called you to? You're going through this religious formality, but the actuality of your life is in total contradiction. You oppress people. You withhold from people. You're selfish. And yet you go through this fasting, some spiritual activity. And God calls him out on it and says, that's not what I've called you to. That's orthodox religion. You're going through some motions, but your heart is unchanged. See, there was a call, there was a warning to the judgment upon sin. All these issues that we face in life and in this world and the things that we look at and identify, those are not the issues. We label them, we categorize them. But the issue, it's one issue. It's sin. You can pick any issue you want that's creating havoc in our world. You strip all the titles down and the fancy phrases and the acronyms, and you can put whatever letters you want from the alphabet together to label. So you strip all that down. And the issue is sin. It's humanity taking pride. It's humanity dividing itself against another. The injustices pour out. We lie, we deceive, we continue to use foolish arguments against one another. We try to cast guilt on another to try to make us look right and make them look bad. I mean, what is all that? What's behind all that? What about, let's take away the issues of the country around us. What are the issues within you and I? What about the argument and the battle within your home? How does that disagreement play out? And what is the extent of it? And what's the impact of it? And now what becomes the motive behind it? We say it was about this. But behind it, there was sin that lurked in our heart that crept out of our mouth and out of our body language. And now we're dealing with sin again. He came to rescue you and I from sin. Ourself. To deliver me of sin. Not just the circumstances, not just all the horrible uprising around me, but the uprising within me. Isaiah chapter 9. I want you to listen to this. I'm just going to read this to you, okay? This is part of the prophecy that Isaiah gives. And remember, this travels through time to you and I today. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. Where'd Jesus hang out? You just say, he hung around Galilee. Go ahead, say it. He hung around Galilee. Yeah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. This is prophecy now. This is what's going to happen. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. Most of us don't know what the joy of the harvest is because, I mean, how many farmers do we have here this morning? The crop farmers. How many of you cattle farmers? Bob, put your hand back up. You're one of those, aren't you? We have a farm. Well, you have a farm. You own the land. You lease it out, right? Yes. You still got trailers that haul cattle? Does Carol clean those for you? No, never. Oh, let's do this. How many of you are hunters? You get this a little bit. Garrett, you get this a lot. Do you remember when you were about yay tall? And we stood right about here. It was a Sunday morning. I wasn't even here that long, really. Dad, Phil, took son out to hunt turkeys. It was in the spring. They came to church in their turkey hunting clothes. How many of you remember this? You remember this? Garrett got his first turkey. They came to church. I heard about it. Now I'm new here. So I was just thinking, maybe they'll forgive the new guy. And you did. I said, go get that turkey. Bring that in here. We're going to celebrate with this boy. I got my first turkey. I got a turkey. I shot a turkey. Do you remember your first deer? Do you remember your first really big buck? Some of you are still hoping for that. See, hope lives. That's what it's like. Joy of the... Woohoo! Listen, even those of you who shot more than one big white-tailed deer, big old buck. Did you get one of those recently? I saw the picture of it. This is the proof. You start texting it to people, and people start texting it to other people, and they're all going, whoo, do you see the size of that thing? He's a big buck slayer, this guy right here. Yeah. If some of you are offended by hunting, I'm sorry that you believe that way. Okay, so, no, I'm kidding. Uh-oh, the emails are coming in. Just disregard that, have grace on Christmas. Listen, that's what he's talking about. To them, that was a harvest. They get excited. They share it with people. They're dancing around. It's a great harvest. Hey, listen, don't kid yourself. Those farmers who walk around like this, and they got their farmer jeans on and all that, and all, you know, and they got their barn cologne on and all. They don't want to get too exuberant in front of people. Because the interesting thing with farmers, they don't like to generally let other people know that, boy, it was really good this year. I learned something since I moved here. When farmers are talking a lot, it means even though they're complaining a lot, and all, that means things are good. When farmers go quiet, you start to worry. So I learned around here that those farmers, they go hide in the barn by themselves when the bushel's really good and it's a bumper crop and it's overflowing and the price is great. Don't kid yourself. They're jumping around in the barn by themselves with the animals. That'll do, babe, you know, right? Yeah, that'll do, pig. So, you know, this is what's going on. He's talking about this is what's going to happen. This is the kind of joy that's going to come. Have hope. Have hope. This is your future. As with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divided the spoil, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as of the day of Midian. Recalling history. When God gave his people victory over Midian. So remember how that was? Then he says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son has been given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Are you and I a lot of that language? We're going, yeah, what? I don't get. He was speaking to people then to understand. But you and I need to extract the truth out of that. That this is what God has promised, it is what he has brought, what he has fulfilled, and the fulfillment is still continuing on. The prophecy has been fulfilled, but the prophecy is not over. We think a prophecy, once it's fulfilled, it's over. His word is forever. All time. Forever. And eternity. You can't erase it. We cannot change it. This is what has been brought to you and I. You see, it's about all people. It wasn't just the Israelites. It's for you. The coming of this child is for you. You are included. Do you need forgiveness? He came for you. Do you need hope? He came for you. Do you need some change in your life to become better and more righteous? He came for you. Have you been broken, abused, hurt? Injustice is done to you? He came for me. You live in a country that there's upheaval and upheaval around the world. He came for you. Don't tell me the Old Testament and the New Testament's irrelevant. That was for then. Where's God now? They were asking back then, where's God? And he answered. And he fulfilled it. And the truth of it continues on for you and I today. and all the generations that will come after us if the Lord should tarry in his return. And it's for everybody. You'll see it throughout Scripture. Paul writes about it in Ephesians 2 about it's for us. It's for all of us. It's one body. Not a segregated body. Not you and, you know, over here and, you know, here's the Nigerian group and, you know, here's the Somalian group and here's the Finlanders and, you know, here's the Italians, woohoo. And, you know, here's for... No segregation. One body. One body, one people, one God. One Christ child, one Savior. One resurrected Christ to make a way for all of us for the resurrection. That's Christmas. I want you to stand with me, please. I want you to listen to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 45, before we sing this closing Christmas song. Listen to this. The Son of Man, now listen, the Son of Man, Jesus, the Son of God, also called the Son of Man, because he was born of a virgin. It was the seed of God, not the seed of Joseph. Fully God, fully human, came in like we did, human likeness. It says that Son of Man came not to be served. Now remember who he is. He's the Son of God, came from heaven, been there always and forever, eternity past, timelessness, which you and I don't grasp in this life. It's like, where did God come from? He had to come from somewhere. We think in human terms. He's timeless. Always was. This Christ, this Son of God, came for you, for me. It says he came to serve, not to be served. He's the righteous one. Yet he came to serve, not to be served. And it says, and to give his life as a ransom. Say it, ransom. In other words, we've got something you want. And if you want it undamaged, you got to pay. And here's the price. And Jesus came as the ransom. Sin provided a debt, a note, that need to be paid for the sinner to go free. He came for me. Look in that mirror. He came for you. You talk to yourself. Tell yourself the truth. He came for you. Paid a ransom. And I want you to know that is the meaning of Christmas.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.